Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
1 Samuel 16 is a very good passage of Scripture. It's an introduction to somebody that we all know. In the life of David, we see him in his beginnings as a shepherd. The shepherd was very precious to the Lord. Think about it. Abel, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had two sons after the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham, the man that God called, he and his descendants were known for being shepherds. The spotless sheep that had to be sacrificed according to the law in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, all the way up to Calvary. The spotless lamb that had to be sacrificed every year had to be reared or raised by shepherds. The man after God's own heart, according to Acts 13:22 and according to 1 Samuel 13:14, was a shepherd. The first people that God told about his precious son's birth were shepherds. Jesus himself, God himself, describes himself as a shepherd. God loved shepherds, used them often in Scripture. So when we first meet David, it's no surprise he's watching sheep. It's remarkable that the greatest of all mortal kings would have his beginning as a shepherd. For the next couple of weeks, as I preach, I want to look at the seasons of David's life. And we're going to start off by talking about the season of David being a shepherd. Verse number 11, chapter 16, 1 Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of beautiful countenance, and goodly to look upon, or to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. We all have seasons in our lives. Beginnings are usually different than endings. Hopefully we're growing and changing into the image of Christ. But for some, the endings aren't as good as the beginnings. But for most, I would think that the endings are better than the beginning. In David's case, he starts out lowly and ends up one of the most popular people that ever walked the face of this earth. So for just a few moments this morning, I want to talk about David the shepherd. And the first thing that we see about David being a shepherd is I want us to see the humbleness of the shepherd. The humbleness of a shepherd. The duties of being a shepherd were humbling. David had to get up early and stay late. He had to see to a bunch of dumb animals, having to make sure they're fed, protected, sheared, counted, guided. These were not duties to be desired, yet God was going to use this training in David's life to allow him to do greater things for God. I wonder what duties God has given us even though they're humbling, God has given us so that He can work out something great for us in the end. That job you may not seem to desire, but you're doing, and the job may not seem to be the best or the most desired, but is it a job that God can teach you something in? A job that God is using to teach you valuable and important lessons? I've had the opportunity to try my hands at several different jobs. I started working about the age of 13. My brother Josh and I, we delivered newspapers every morning, 364 days a year. And the reason it was 364 days a year is because they delivered the Christmas Day paper on New Year's Eve. So we got to deliver it twice on New Year's Eve. Hey, we worked 364 days a year. Rain, snow, heat, or cold, we had to get up at 5:30 every morning. Walk about 2 or 3 miles. And had to have all of our papers delivered by 7. And if they weren't delivered by 7, there would be a phone call at 7:01 to my house. But God was teaching me something. I later got to work at Shoney's. The one here on East Side that's no longer there. I think AutoZone or something sitting there now. I used to work at Shoney's, America's favorite restaurant that closed down. And I got to work as a busboy, cleaning up everybody's messes. We would have to work until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday night, which is seafood night. So I would come home about 2 o'clock in the morning and my shoes would be caked in grease. And I would, my clothes to this day, wherever they may be, whatever landfill they're in, still smells like fish. I'm certain of it. Well, then I got to go to Bob Jones and I got to be a cook. I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning. I wasn't allowed to go to bed until 11. I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning, walk a mile, half a mile across campus and cook at least 12,000 meals for that day, or enough meals to feed 12,000 people. Later on, I got to be a bag boy at Bilo. After that, I ended up working as a telemarketer, selling newspapers for the Greenville News in Greenville, South Carolina. All of these jobs, God was teaching me something. All of them had their humble beginnings. All of them had some humbling experiences. I got to work for Dad for 2 summers as an intern here, as an apprentice, as we let people still do to this day. And I got to work with Dad. And then in order to be able to pay for college, I had to not only work for Dad, but I had to work at Warehouse Grocery. And so I would work here from the morning until the afternoon, and then I would leave here, go to Warehouse Grocery, which is no longer in existence. I've worked a lot of places out of business, haven't I? I'd work at Warehouse Grocery until about 3 o'clock in the morning, go home, get a couple of hours of sleep, and then do it all over again the next day. But God was teaching me something. I worked for a summer at Ridge Runner. I hate bed mats to this day, but I was learning something. God was preparing me for something. Then I went to be an assistant pastor, and I got to be an assistant pastor at 2 different places. For a stint, I drove for Federated Auto in between being an assistant pastor, and God was teaching me something, training me. And now I'm here. God is still teaching me and training me. But all of the experiences that I've done through my life, starting out as a paper boy, God has used to form me and train me and help me to be the person that I am today. The experiences that I've had to experience, I've learned a couple of things. One is I hate getting up early. I have learned that. I know that God used all of those things to help me to be the man that I am today. And I'm wondering what you're going through right now. Is it not something that God is using in your life to help you be the king that he wants you to be someday. David was a shepherd. God was using this being a shepherd. You know, his duties were humbling, but the family that David was born into was humbling. They were poor, from a lowly tribe, Benjamin, from a lowly town, or Judah, from a lowly town in Bethlehem, excuse me, and nothing to write home about, but God can use anyone from any family to do a mighty thing for him. David wasn't afraid to do humbling things because he never thought he was very much anyway. And by the way, that's exactly where God wants us to be. Humble. When you and I realize that we can do nothing without him, that's exactly where God wants us to be. David didn't have far to travel from that because he always was a lowly person and God anointing him. You know what David did after he became a shepherd and after he became a king, anointed king? He didn't get the position, but he became anointed. The very next thing we find David doing is watching sheep. Can you imagine the humbling experience of that? Go bring David, Samuel says to Jesse. David comes. What's wrong, Dad? The prophet wants to talk to you. Come here. God has anointed you king of Israel. Pour the oil on his head. Party. Woohoo! Now what? Go back watching sheep. No. So David went out and watched sheep some more. After being anointed king, it was on the hillsides where David learned to play the harp that would get him in the palace. It was on the hillside where David would have a song on his heart and a psalm that you'll read many of them on his lips. It was while he was being a shepherd. David was humble because of his family. David was humble because of his duty. And David was humble because of the job itself, being a shepherd. It was a servant's job. If a family was wealthy enough or rich enough, the servants would be watching the sheep, not some son. But in any circumstance, David being the youngest in the poorhouse, it was his job. It was a job not to be desired. It was a job that nobody wanted to do. What he had to do was unwanted and lowly, humbling, worst chore in the family. And he did it with a song in his heart and a psalm on his lips. But if you think about it, I want you to think about this. I just described to you David. But didn't I just describe to you Jesus too? See, Jesus was humble in his duty. He came from heaven to earth for such a worm as I. He was humble in his beginning because when he came to earth, guess where he was born? In a manger, in a stable, to the poorest of poor families. Grew up poor. Jesus was poor in his circumstances. Jesus was humble in his duties. Jesus was humble in his being born in poor circumstances. And Jesus was humble because he did become a servant. By the way, Jesus is the great shepherd. So now I want to see not only the humbleness of the shepherd, I want to see the heart of the shepherd. I want you to see that a shepherd's heart was a heart of faithfulness. David was a faithful shepherd. In watching the sheep, he was faithful. Cold, wet, snowy, hot. The sheep needed to be tended to, and David was faithful. Animals would attack, and David remained faithful. You know, God wants us to be faithful in the things he has given us responsibility for. How is our faithfulness? It is one of the most valuable characteristics that God wants us to have is faithfulness. And how is your faithfulness this morning? Where God has planted you, where God has put you, you need to be faithful and grow wherever God's planted you. And And if God wants to move you, he can come and he can take the roots and all and replant you somewhere else. My wife had bought an aloe plant. It's good to have an aloe plant. When I was a cook, I learned to have aloe plants nearby because there are several times we got burnt. And so what we would do is we'd go over to the aloe plant, we'd cut a piece of the aloe branch off, and we'd rub that aloe all over that burnt place, and amazingly, it helped. So we bought an aloe plant, a small little aloe plant. My wife just told me the other day, she says, we're going to have to repot that. It's gotten so big. Hey, as you grow, guess what God will come and do? He'll repot you. He'll replant you to a bigger place, to a bigger responsibility. If you're faithful in the small things, he'll make you ruler over the mighty things. That's a principle in Scripture. But David was faithful. David was loving. The shepherd is a loving person. David had a heart for sheep. Silly enough, David loved sheep. I've met some people that own sheep. I don't think that the shepherds in America are like the shepherds of David's time, because they don't treat them the same. But David was a kind and loving shepherd. He loved the sheep. When most saw a dumb, worthless animal, David saw a helpless, needful animal. When others saw a stinky, non-working, useless animal, David saw an animal that he was responsible for. My point is that David was a loving shepherd. Are we loving? Do we look at others in love? Do we see the down and outers and think worthless? Or do we think helpless? Do we look at people and say useless? Or do we look at them and say priceless? We need to be loving. But a shepherd, a loving shepherd, a heart of a shepherd is not just faithful and loving, but it's compassionate. David was a compassionate shepherd. You'll find that to be true when you read 2 Samuel. One of the saddest incidents in David's life, Nathan the prophet comes in. Nathan the prophet comes in and he looks at David and he tells David a sad story. Sad story that reveals the compassion of David's heart towards being a shepherd. Samuel tells the story, and we'll talk about this later down the road. Unfortunately, we'll have to. We'll talk about it later down the road, but I want to just pull this point of compassion out of this story. Nathan tells the story about how this poor little family, so poor that they could only afford one sheep. And they raised that sheep. The Bible even goes into description that they fed the sheep from the crumbs of their table. They let the sheep stay in the house. They let the sheep stay in their room like a pet. They were never going to eat that sheep. They were never going to do anything to that sheep that would be harmful to that sheep. They loved and cherished that sheep. And then there was this neighbor who was rich and loaded and had thousands and thousands of sheep. And he didn't love sheep. He just used sheep as a commodity to buy things, to make money. One loved and one didn't. Well, this rich shepherd had a visitor from a far country come by and see him. And instead of taking one of his thousands of sheep, he saw that little pet animal in the backyard of that poor family and his wife and his two little children. They weren't home at that particular time, so he went over there, took their sheep, killed their sheep, and ate their sheep. Oh, David was livid. I can see David now with his blood boiling. Why? Because he was compassionate. He understood that shepherd. He didn't understand this shepherd. And he stood up, and I can see him banging his fist on the throne and saying, you bring him to me, and I'll see he won't live until the end of the day. And I'll give that family fourfold in return. David was hot. unfortunately, the story was about David. We'll talk about that later. But it still shows me the heart of David. It shows me that he was compassionate. He could sympathize and empathize with this one family that loved and had compassion. And friend, we should have compassion. Maybe the situation that you are in, whatever it may be, God is using to help you be more compassionate later. Maybe the trials that you're going through right now is to help you come and help someone else later. I know that I've used some of the very hardest times in my life, some of the very most difficult times of my life, some of the lowest points of my life, some of the times where I was walking and I thought it was all dark and all gloomy and that there was no light at the end of the tunnel and how I was so heartbroken and how I can only lean on faith and trust that Jesus was doing the right thing for me because it didn't look like it at all. But in those darkest days, grabbing hands with the Lord, walking me through the valleys of darkness, He always led me into greener pastures. And I can take those hard things that God has given me over my life, and I can help others with it. Many a times I'm sitting across the desk from someone that's sharing their heart to me, broken, hurt, wounded, and my mind goes back to the dark days where I can look at them and I can smile and I can say, trust Him. He won't let you down. I can share my experience and I can, because during those dark days, God has given me a burden and a compassion that I would have never had if I weren't a shepherd. Whatever God's putting you through right now, you don't understand it. But if you trust the Lord, someday you'll take that experience, season it with compassion, and you'll be able to help somebody that you love dearly. Trust Him. You can trust the Master. The shepherd is also gentle. David had to be gentle with sheep. The story of the shepherd finding the lost sheep, that shows gentleness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle." Isaiah 40:11 says this, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." A description of what a shepherd was. Gentle. David was a shepherd and he would have to have been gentle with his sheep. And I believe that it would be wise for us to handle things gently as well. I got a call just the other day about a circumstance, and I was trying to counsel another pastor and trying to help, and he was asking me questions about this and this, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Throwing rocks at him, is it going to help? No. Is it going to fix it? No. Be gentle. Don't condone sin, but be gentle. The Bible uses this terminology, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Interesting enough, going back to a sermon I preached a few years ago, the dove represents the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is gentle. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus wants us to be gentle, but hey, David's heart of a shepherd certainly sounds like the heart of Jesus, doesn't it? Because isn't Jesus faithful? Isn't Jesus loving? Isn't Jesus compassionate? Isn't Jesus gentle? The final thing that I want to look at this morning about the humbleness of a shepherd is I want to see his hand, and I want to see his humbleness and I want to see his heart. So we want to look at his hand now. You know, the hand of a shepherd has to be strong. 1 Samuel 17:34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servants kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." The hand of the shepherd strong. Even though he's gentle and meek, he had to be strong. I want you to see the strong hand of David. David had a strong hand. And right along with his strong hand goes the other ideology as that he had a protective hand. Because in this same passage of Scripture, we could go down to verse 45, "And then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give it to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." I want you to see the protective hand of the shepherd. See, he's still a shepherd. He's not a soldier. We'll talk about a soldier. He's a shepherd. You know how he got here, don't you? He's out watching sheep. "David, come here." "Yes, Dad." "Your brothers are out at battle. Take him some cheese and some milk or whatever." "Who's going to watch the sheep?" "I'll take care of that. You go." "Yes, sir." They see him. "What are you doing here? You're just a troublemaker." "Well, Dad told me to bring cheese." And all of a sudden, you hear Goliath. He says, Who's talking about our God like that? Which one of you guys are going to go fight him? You big guy, go get him." "No one." Goes to Saul. "I'll go fight him." "You're just a little shepherd." "I'll fight him." "Saul, when I was a king, I'm a shepherd, and I was watching my dad's sheep, and there came a bear and a lion, and I killed both of them. And this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's no match for God." The hand of the shepherd is strong, and the hand of the shepherd is protective. You know what David was doing? David was used to protecting sheep, and he was going to protect the name of God. He was going to protect... Number one, God does not need us to protect him. You know that. But because the hand of the shepherd is protective, he was not going to let a vile Philistine blaspheme his God. He had no doubt that victory was his. God doesn't need you and me to fight his battles. I've always said this, you don't need to defend truth. Truth will defend itself. You just need to be on the side of truth. But I want to be on the side where people know that I take a stand for Jesus Christ. I don't like fights. But I certainly don't like flights. And when this world comes at us, we are needing to defend this Bible and the principles for which it stands in this country. We have that right constitutionally, and a right that I believe has been given by God. Not every country takes that stand, but this country does. And we need to be protective of our freedoms. We need to be protective of our rights. We should take a stand for Christ. We don't need to protect him, but we should stand for him. We should protect our Bible. We should protect the name of God. David did that with Goliath. I also want you to see that the hand of the shepherd is providing. David provided the necessities for the sheep. And when we think of the strong hand of the shepherd, we think of Jesus. See, he is not just strong, he's omnipotent. He's all strong. He's our protector. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. That means you and I have to prepare and plan and do what we need to do as if everything depends upon us. But the rest of that verse says, but safety is of the Lord. And we trust that everything depends upon God. So he is a protective shepherd. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is a providing shepherd. And I want you to know that when we talk about the shepherd, now we can understand why Jesus said that David was a man after my own heart. There's only one person that God ever said that about, and that was David. He said about him in 1 Samuel 13. He also said it again in Acts about David being the man after my own heart. David was a man after God's own heart because Jesus is the great shepherd. You know the passage of Scripture in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So when you think of the Lord being a shepherd, you think of a Lord that is loving. You think of a Lord that is compassionate. You think of a Lord that is gentle. You think of a Lord that is faithful. You think of a Lord that is strong. You think of a Lord that is protective. You think of a Lord that is providing. You think of a Lord that is humble. So humble that he came to earth, born in a humble family, and served his creation. Now, if you have time to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10, I'm going to give you the last part of being a shepherd about Jesus. This morning we've seen David the shepherd, but we also have seen Jesus is our great shepherd. And I think this passage of Scripture ties it up well. John chapter 10, verse number 11 says this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, David was a good shepherd, but he wasn't the good shepherd. David was willing to lay down his life for the sheep, but guess what? David never had to lay down his life for the sheep because David lived after his battle with a bear. David lived after his battle with a lion, but I want you to know that the great shepherd, the good shepherd, he came to die. He died. He wasn't just willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. You're here this morning. I want you to know that Jesus, the great shepherd, loves you, cares for you. He is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. He saw your need way before you were born and said, that sheep needs me. I'll die for that sheep. And really, the comparison of a shepherd to a sheep, there's no comparison to a God to a people. God to a maggot? Worthless worms that we are compared to what he is? And he died for us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know he loves you. He died for you. Won't you trust him? He did it all for you. If you were the only person to ever walk the face of this earth, he would have died for you and you alone. Just for you. When you think of a relationship, we kind of think of God as a relationship that encompasses everybody that knows him. And it does. It encompasses everybody that knows him. But I want you to know it's a personal relationship. He loves you. He doesn't love y'all. He loves you.
Thank you so much for listening.
He loves you. You can put your name. For God so loved Nathan Barker that he gave his only begotten son.
Please feel free
to like us on Facebook. That if Nathan Barker believeth in him, Nathan Barker will not perish, but Nathan Barker shall have everlasting life.
Stream. We hope you have a blessed day.
Put your name in there. He's talking about you. He loves you. He was willing to die for you. Won't you trust him this morning? You could not find yourself as a sheep finding a better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you put your faith and trust in him if you don't know him this morning? Maybe you do know him. Let me ask you this. What circumstances are you finding yourself in today that you're hurt? The job that you're in, you feel like it's a dead-end job. You don't understand why you're there. The circumstances that you find yourself in, you don't understand why they happened. Why, you know, and a lot of times we ask questions, why did God let that happen to me? I mean, I know God doesn't do wrong, but he allowed it to happen. It's true. But if you'll trust him, if you'll trust the Good Shepherd, he is working all things for your good. Because that's how God works. All things for good to them that love him. You may be going through a tough, difficult, hard trial. Trust the shepherd. He is trying to build compassion in you because someday, who knows, maybe somebody that you love dearly is going to need your wisdom and experience that you've already faced. Where you'll be able to sit down across from a bed or across from a table or across from a chair or a front room or a living room or face to face, and you'll be able to say, I know you're hurting. I know you're going through this. But let me tell you how Jesus delivered me, and let me show you how he will guide you even when you don't understand. Hey, if you can't see his hand, dear church, you can trust his heart. He'll never let you down because he's the great shepherd. Father, if you're here this for those here this morning that do not know you as their Savior, I pray that they'll trust you this morning. You are a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Thank you for letting us see the life of David, understanding just a little bit of why you say he is a man after your own heart, because he was a shepherd. And the attributes that he displayed in his life are attributes that your son Jesus showed us 2,000 years ago. Loving, compassionate, gentle, providing, protecting. Father, your son Jesus is just a wonderful Savior. And there may be somebody here this morning, Father, that is struggling with the idea of knowing